So I'd like to take you on a little bit of a journey today to talk about the concept of patent eligibility in the life sciences arena and the impact on life science inventions. My law professor told me we should always start with the statute, so we'll just run through it briefly to kind of show you the underlying policy issues that are driving this. So 35 U.S.C. Section 101. There are only four categories of subject matter eligible for patenting in the United States. Those are machines, manufacturers, compositions of matter, and processes. But fortunately, even though there's only four categories, we're also told that that's essentially everything under the sun made by man, except the judicial exceptions. Those are things that the judiciary says we cannot have patents on, and those are abstract ideas, natural laws, and natural phenomena. And why? Because to grant a monopoly on those basic tools of science would impede innovation, and that would contravene the constitutional mandate that patents are to promote the progress of science and useful arts. Now, there's been a flurry of activity in 101 lately. You've heard quite a bit about it today. In the last 7 or 8 years, certainly, and a lot of this has been impacting the life science area as well. And, of course, the Supreme Court has had their paws in this. So let's take a look at how. We're going to start with the Mayo decision. So this is Justice Breyer. His decision in Mayo Prometheus really began the decline of patent eligibility for diagnostic patents in the United States. So the inventors here had discovered certain levels of thioguanine in the blood of patients after the drug was administered to them, above which meant it was too high and you could have adverse events, below which it was too low and you weren't going to have any effect in treating these GI disorders. So what's old is the drug. That was known. What's old is testing it in people's blood. That was done before. What's new is this correlation of safety and efficacy with these very particular threshold levels of drug that they found. So the claims in front of you, we've got a method of optimizing treatment, we administer the drug, we determine the level, and then we've got this diagnostic conclusion stuffed in this where-in clause at the end.